Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be here. What beautiful weather we have outside. We also had very beautiful weather yesterday for our men's day that we got to spend at the Cross Creek Clays, Sporting Clays area. And we had some men show up and we got to do some manly things. So it was a fun day. And we got to fellowship and just be around Christian men together. And that was wonderful. And I am again excited to be here. And excited to be able to be preaching this lesson, this series of Back to the Basics. This is our second lesson. Last week we talked about what is the church and what is the, how can we define the church from the New Testament? And I hope you were able to take from that message last week what the church is all about, because it's going to help us understand a little bit about our lesson this week. So we've defined the church. Now, if you've looked in your contact or your bulletin, your order of worship today, I have an outline in there for you of today's lesson. And so you'll notice the title of this morning's lesson is, well, how do I become a member? Right? How do I become a part of that church that we defined out of the New Testament last week? So that's what we're going to be discussing today. Now, when I was first became a Christian about 9 years ago, I was at a small country congregation in Oklahoma, Northwest Oklahoma. It's what we call the brown part. You know why it's called the brown part? Because it doesn't rain out there. And I was a farmer. Guess how fun that was? Not a whole lot. And so we were out there. I was a part of this congregation. And one Sunday evening, and I don't know, maybe you older folks may have seen this before, but there was an invitation given by the preacher. And all of a sudden, there was this little old lady. She was about 90 years old. She came walking down the aisle. And she sat down in the pew. And one of the elders went and sat with her. And all of a sudden, afterwards, they got up there and they said, Mrs. So-and-so wants to place membership with this congregation. Now, I didn't grow up in the Lord's church, and so that blew my mind. I was like, what in the world does that mean to place membership with this congregation? And so everybody was excited. This woman had been a part of the Lord's church for a very long time, but at a different congregation, and now she was wanting to be a part of this one. But when I started to think of placing membership, this is what my mind went to. I thought we were becoming a part of a country club or something. Now, if you're a golf enthusiast, and you may know this just by the symbol, this is Augusta National, one of the, if not the, most exclusive country club or club to be a part of. Now, this is wild. They only have about 300 members. Most of them are men. And the initiation fees alone, not including any other sorts of fees, are $250,000 to $500,000. That is an exclusive club, right? Now, there's also this particular club. This is the Seminole Country Club, and it has about, again, 300 members. Now, what's interesting about this club is they deny Jack Nicklaus to be a part of this club. Now, if you're not familiar with golf, Jack Nicklaus is arguably one of the best golfers ever to play the sport. And they said, no thanks, we don't want you a part of our club, right? And see, that's what I start to think of when I think about placing membership. And as I've grown in God's word, I've understood that's not what the idea of placing membership is all about. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How do I become a member of that New Testament church we saw defined, we read defined last week in the New Testament? Now, we started with this verse last week, and I think this is a great place for us to start too, because Jesus lets us know in Matthew 16, he is going to build his church. Now, remember whose church it is, right? And so when we're talking about becoming a member, we want to remember what membership or what church we are becoming a part of. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So now we're going to see throughout this part, how we're going to break this sermon up is we're going to first talk about the plans, the blueprint we have on how to become a member of the capital C church, right? The church worldwide, Jesus's church. How do I become a member of that? Well, at the end of each gospel account, or sometimes it's in Acts 1, right? Jesus gives this what we call the Great Commission, right? He's sending his apostles out to start their work in mission work and ministry, and he gives them these instructions. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Preach to them, right? Preach to everybody, the whole creation. Now, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He goes on to say, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, in Matthew 28, he gives another great commission. This is Matthew's account of this particular great commission. And notice how he writes it down. Go, therefore, and make disciples, make followers, make learners of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. Now notice the command here for what these apostles are supposed to go and do is to go and make disciples, okay? Well, there's those cool ing words, right? Those are those helper verbs that tell you how to carry out that command. And so when he says go and make disciples, he says here's how you're going to do that. By baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Then don't stop there. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Make sure that you teach these people who have been baptized, who have had their sins washed away, teach them everything that I've taught y'all. Teach them everything that I've commanded you throughout my mission work, throughout my ministry. I want them to know that. All right, you've probably read the earlier chapters in the gospel accounts, and if not, I encourage you to. Jesus does a lot of teaching. Right? In Mark 1, verses 38 and 39, he came for that reason, was to preach. That was his purpose. He wanted to let everybody know about this kingdom of God that was coming back. And so that's what these apostles were to do. So if we were to put it in a cool equation, if you're a math person, maybe you'll like this. If not, maybe you won't. But notice, Jesus' plans to build his church, here they are. Ready? Preach to them. Baptize them, teach them. That's how you make saved disciples, right? That's how you do it. You go to them, you preach to them, they understand the gospel, they hear that gospel call, they obey that gospel, they're baptized, they have their sins washed away. You don't stop there, you keep teaching them. That's how he wanted his church built. That was his plans to getting people saved to become a part of his church. Now, how do we carry out that practice? Or even how did we see in the New Testament these apostles carrying out that, right? They got the Great Commission, so you would expect that Jesus told them to do this, that we would actually see the apostles doing this. Well, you don't have to turn very far in your New Testaments. If you look in Acts chapter 2, we see this Great Commission being carried out for the first time, right? Famous sermon, a famous time. It's Pentecost, right? And the apostles were gathered in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came down upon them like Jesus said what happened in John 14 through John 16. And so the Holy Spirit came upon these apostles and gave this miraculous gift of apostleship to them. And now they're able to speak in different languages to be able to preach to all the different people there. Right? And so now Peter kind of rises above the other voices. Notice in verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. What's he doing? He's preaching. Isn't that the first part we see in the plan that Jesus gave? Preach to them. Now, to make a long sermon short, I seem to be pretty good at that. What happens after these verses is Peter preaches to them the gospel, He uses the Old Testament. He uses particular prophecies from Joel 2, Psalm 16, to help these people understand that, hey, that guy y'all crucified was Jesus. That's the Messiah. Y'all made a big oopsie, right? And they're so convicted. They ask Peter, what shall we do? We understand we're in sin. We've been convicted in our hearts. We know that we are lost. We know that we are separated from God. How can we make sure we get back in God's presence? Well, he tells them. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off. That sounds like everybody to me. Remember that whole preach to all the creatures, preach to the whole world? Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So we're thinking about that equation that we have. Peter's preached to them the gospel. They've heard this gospel call. They've heard God calling them through this message to be saved. And so their response was to repent and be baptized, right? Have your sins washed away. Receive the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they did that. They carried out that command that Peter gave them, and they were baptized, and it says, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Did they stop there? One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Acts 2, 42 through 47, because that is a church. That is a group of Christians that love to be around each other. That is a group of Christians that can't help be around each other. So notice what they did. They had become added to the church. They have been saved. They were becoming disciples. They didn't just go home, though. They didn't just stop there. Notice, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. They kept learning. They kept listening. They kept wanting to grow. And that was Jesus' mission to building his church. It wasn't just to go and preach and help people get into a baptistry and have their sins washed away. That was a part of it, but that wasn't the whole equation. There was the teaching afterwards. There was the being the church that happened afterwards. Because if you were to continue on in these verses, they were still together. They started sharing their things. They started giving up their things to help their brothers and sisters who were in need. And they were together day by day, every day. I've made this promise. Y'all get ready next year. We're going to have an every day we are together week, right? So all you got to do is turn that little key that gets you into your car and come down here, and we're going to spend time together. Because that's what they did. They were together every day. And guess what God did? Added to their number daily. That is the best church growth model I know to have happen, right? Be together, and people will want to be together with you. So we see them actually doing that. We see the Great Commission being said. Now we see the Great Commissioning happening. And so in verse 47, as I was just alluding to, notice, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, if you look at the New King James or the King James, right? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, the New King James and the King James used a little bit of a leniency here to add in that the church. The concept is there, that the words aren't actually in the original language. But the principle is there, because Jesus said, I was going to build my church, and this is how you do it. And so the New King James and the King James said, maybe through these manuscripts and the older manuscripts, they found that some of these scribes had added that in there to help them understand what was happening, right? And so that's how you get a part of this capital C church. This Great Commission was said, this Great Commission happened, and these people were being added to the church by following those commands. So what about placing of membership, right? We've talked about how to become a part of the capital C church. The church as the whole, a Christian, a disciple of Christ. What about the local flocks though, right? And I'll be honest, there is a common thing nowadays, I guess people say that it's well, I don't have to place membership anywhere. I don't have to be a part of any sort of church because I'm a part of Jesus's church as a whole. I get that, but I think you're making a huge mistake. And here's why. Notice in Acts 20, verses 28 through 31. It's a very important part in Acts 20 because Paul is spending some time to talk to these elders who are at Ephesus. And notice, as Paul knows his time is nearing on this earth and coming to a close, and he knows that he won't be able to see these elders again, whom he loved dearly, notice how he commissions them. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to take care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. You see, there's wolves out there. Sometimes we don't like to see them. Sometimes we don't like to acknowledge it. But there are wolves out there. And guess what these wolves are trying to do? Get in among the sheep. And so what he is doing here is he is telling these elders, these shepherds, these overseers, watch out for them. Now, how does an eldership watch out for wolves if they don't know who the sheep are? Does that make sense? How can the elders say, oh, we don't want this wolf coming in here if they haven't been able to fully identify who the sheep are? Because if you notice in Hebrews 13, 17, we also have another commission to leaders. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Because they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So why do we want to place membership at a local congregation? Because our eldership can then know who are sheep and who are not, so that they can take care of those who are sheep here. Because their whole goal is to make sure that this body, this flock of the Lord's people is heading towards heaven. All you have to do is talk with one of our shepherds here. They all have the same goal. They want everybody in here to get to heaven. They are prayerfully considering all of the names that are in this flock. If you want to find out that they actually do that, go see in one of their meetings. They have a huge list of people that they're praying for, that they're concerned about, whether it be somebody who has decided to step away from the faith, whether it be somebody who is going through a terrible time in their life, whether it be somebody who's struggling with finances. They're on their board and they are praying for you, because they're worried about your souls. Now, here's the thing, and I want you to think about this. If you've never identified with the flock here at Hilldale, your name will never be on their board. I'm just being honest. They can't pray for you because they don't know that you're a part of this flock. And they would love for you to be a part of this flock, and I would love for you to be a part of this flock, because I want to be concerned for your soul too. And so does everybody else in here that is a part of this flock here at Hilldale. We want to make sure we are together. We want to make sure that we are striving together to get towards heaven. And that can come through identifying yourself with this local flock here at Hilldale. And maybe we're not the choice for you. Maybe there is another very sound congregation that doesn't have wolves trying to come into it. And you say, well, this is a flock that I would love to be a part of. Great, be a part of it. Get involved. Let the shepherds know that, hey, I want to come into this flock. That would be awesome. But we want to be able to help you and encourage you and exalt you and do all of these great things to help you on your walk towards heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to become a member. Now, I will say, I was a hypocrite about to teach this lesson this morning. Because as a preacher, sometimes we're assumed as members of a congregation, right? I got hired here, so I guess we're just making you a member. I have never placed membership at a congregation until Hilldale. So this week, I went and got one of our forms that we have in there that you can fill out. And if you're wanting, you're a member of the Lord's church and you're saying, you know, I want to become a part of Hilldale. I want to place myself underneath the eldership here and become a part of this flock. We have sheets that all you do is you have to fill out a few things. Just letting our elders know a couple of easy questions, right, about who you are. And then you turn it in to me or the front office or one of the other ministers or an elder, and then we hand it to the elders. And then what they do is they look over it, then they give you a phone call and you come in for a meeting. Simple as that. And the whole idea behind that meeting is they want to say, hello, we're elder so-and-so. Nice to meet you. These are kind of some expectations we have, and we want to pray with you and do all of these wonderful things with you as we are in this together. Well, I did that this week. I filled out that sheet. I put all my information down. I put my spouse's information down. And I put it on Miss Gigi's desk. And I'm awaiting for the elders to call me to see if I am able to place membership here. So, if not, it's going to be a weird next Sunday. But I am thankful that we have an eldership here that is thinking that way. Because there are churches out there that don't care. And if they don't care, how can they ever pray for you? There are four elders here that care about you, and they care about everybody here, and they want to care about those who they don't have a name for yet. So if you're ready to become a member of this local flock, you can see me afterwards near that welcome center, and I can give you a sheet of paper that you can take home and fill out. Or maybe you're ready to become a part of the Capital C Church, the one we talked about earlier on in this lesson, that Jesus told his apostles in the Great Commission, this is how you go and build that Capital C Church. Maybe you've heard the gospel message. Maybe you've been studying with somebody one-on-one, and now you're ready to obey that gospel call. You're ready to repent of the life you've been living, have your sins washed away, and be immersed in baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning you're ready for that. There is a baptistry. I heard the water is warm. If you're ready to do that this morning, or maybe you're here and you need prayers, we would love to pray with you. We just ask that if you have any need this morning, you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.